You got to start with something at the top, but then starting to really break down, what are those conversion ratios between the first stage of your interview to that final round interview to that offer accept? And are each one of those data points within those benchmarks, whether it be with your industry or just more for the talent channel that you're recruiting for? So that really is our driver here. And so looking first and foremost as the performance as a team, but then starting to break down that performance from the team into the individual as well here too. For example, if I'm recruiting and I'm working with a pool of talent, maybe there's an opportunity for me with some of my screening.
Hello and welcome to the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and on this show, we interview today's industry leaders in talent acquisition to discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds. If you are working in talent acquisition and have always wanted to sit down with your peers at other companies to exchange ideas and learn, well, this show is the next best thing. Join us each week as we bring you a new expert interview and extract their expertise. This episode is brought to you by SageMark HR. Transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology. Selecting the right recruiting solutions to enable your strategy is one of the biggest challenges leaders face today. You know technology will help, but searching all the options to find out what will work best for your specific needs can be both overwhelming and time-consuming. At SageMark HR, we make selecting the right recruiting technology easy. Our proven process has helped companies such as 3M, Comcast, Stryker, Walgreens, and many more. Reach out to us at SageMark HR for a free consultation to learn how we can help you improve results with less stress and confidently change from reacting to leading.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the TA Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull. Today, I have a conversation with Dustin Lazinski, who is the Director of Talent Acquisition Early Careers at Burlington Stores. Dustin, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ryan. Glad to be here.
Yeah, looking forward to our conversation today. Let's go ahead and start out, if you wouldn't mind, giving a little bit of background, how you got into the talent space and maybe some of the roles that you've had leading up to your current role.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So a little bit of a non-traditional. Early on in my career of post-undergrad, thought I'd be going on and working in the healthcare field. Did that for a year. Wasn't the right fit for me and took a few years in a sales role, if you will. And actually, it was an unsuccessful sales interview that opened my eyes to the world of talent and HR. And now it's been about 14 years within the space here, with the majority of that being talent acquisition. Again, very happy for that, I guess you could say, non-traditional route, but glad to have found a home now.
Yeah, that's great. So looking back through your background in those 14 years, you've worked with some pretty recognizable brands. Would you mind sharing a little bit about maybe some of the brands that you've worked for and then a little bit about your current role?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel I've been really fortunate. I've been able to see a few different industries. And as you mentioned, at the time, Fortune 10s to rapidly growing startups, if you will. So I started out my career at HP as a part of their HR leadership development program, which was just a fantastic opportunity. And shout out to all the former MAP alumni there. But really got to work with just a ton of fantastic HR leaders, really get a good understanding of how strategy within HR helps drive and enable the business, and really working in a global facet from day one. So I worked at everything from HR generalist, talent management, but then really got into talent acquisition and talent acquisition leadership with HP. And so from there, then I had an opportunity to join Wayfair in the early days and help build out the early career efforts there along with some sales recruitment as well. And that was exactly what you think about with a fast growing organization, pretty intense, pretty exciting times, really being able to help build out that infrastructure. And then after Wayfair, was able to join my first step into off-price retail, if you will, with TJX, where really joined to focus on the early career efforts and spent about 6 years there, predominantly focusing on early career, but then also getting exposure to contingent labor, sourcing, some executive recruitment with our merchandising space, and really just, again, continuing to round out that experience. And so fast forward to where I am here today, obviously at Burlington, overseeing our early career efforts and really helping, I think, continue to grow our value proposition and also the opportunities to bring early career talent and enable the business.
Great. Yeah, if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit, I'm assuming most of our audience knows about Burlington, but some may not. So if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit about Burlington as an organization and maybe the size of the organization, number of employees, some key elements, as well as your team in early career, maybe a little bit around the scope and size of your team.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope everyone at least has an understanding of who we are. We've been around, I think it's coming up on 30 plus years as an organization. We're over 1,000 stores and looking to add basically 100 a year is our goal over the course of the next few years. Additionally, we do operate within the off-price space. So a lot of discussion, a lot of focus in the off-price niche of retail right now. Very nice place to be here. And we are the number 3 off-price retailer by revenue here in the U.S. So again, it's that nice sweet spot of Fortune 500, but then also a lot of growth opportunities still remain here within the U.S. That's pretty exciting to be a part of.
Great. Now, your team specifically focuses on early careers. How many folks on that team? And then what kind of volume do you have that you focus on an annual basis for early career activities?
Yep. So we're a small but mighty team here. So all in, we're 5 individuals. So recruiters, operations, support, coordination, leadership as well. From a volume perspective, we're doing anywhere between about 250 to 300 hires a year today. That's a combination of full-time and then also interns, obviously, coming into our ecosystem. Again, I think another part with that as well, too, is obviously we put a lot of focus on our intern program, really looking to drive those experience to then convert over into our full-time needs into some of our core areas. So some of those core functional areas that our team supports here today, obviously very significant into our merchandising career paths. That obviously is critical for us in the off-price space. We also support finance. And then we also did start to begin some pilot efforts here supporting our supply chain and distribution networks. Again, trying to bring as much exposure to that early career space where needed to drive that business.
That sounds great. If you wouldn't mind, share a few maybe of the initiatives that you've led or some successes that you've had over the last couple of years in your space.
Yeah. So I think anytime you're coming in new to an organization, the first period is really about listening, observing, and really just trying to get acclimated into the organization. So coming up on about 2 years with Burlington now, feeling in a pretty good spot as far as understanding where we were, but then also really starting to be able to take some action on helping us elevate and go to that next level as an early career team. So first and foremost, one of the areas that we really focused on was our reporting and our data. At the end of the day, you can't fix what you don't measure. And being able to have better visibility into our talent pipelines, what our performance is with our hires, post-intern conversion or full-time direct hire, really getting a better sense of where we stand today was step one. And I feel really good where we are here today now, where we have monthly report outs. We have week-to-week live metrics looking at our funnel, and we're able to be much more agile as far as identifying where challenges might be coming up and be able to more strategically address those in a more focused manner. Again, being a fairly small team for what we're producing volume-wise here, it's just really important to make sure that we're picking the right things to be able to work on because there is a laundry list, but we want to make sure that we are doing the most impactful. So again, I think really cleaning up our reporting and our data, and then really then using that to be able to help us focus and prioritize what are going to be the biggest bangs for the buck, if you will, with our optimization or improvement efforts. So with that data, that next step, I would say, is we really took a look at our process. So and really looking at it from the lens of the full recruitment lifecycle. Truthfully, one of the first areas we looked at was that top of the funnel. Are we getting enough of the candidates we need to be able to drive the type of conversion we're looking for throughout the recruitment lifecycle, then obviously to the hire stage? So with this newfound data, being able to look more on a consistent basis and a more frequent basis on how we're performing from that top of the funnel, we're able then to start to figure out what adjustments we are making in our sourcing or our outreach strategies. What sort of augmentations were we making with schools or partnerships or other avenues that we're going to, one, hopefully attract, engage, and identify talent to be able to hit our pipeline. That was definitely, I think, an initial focus within that first 12 months from the reporting, then top of the funnel. Now we're starting to go even deeper into the funnel in each one of those stages.
Yeah, that's great. I love how you approach that. And hopefully all of you listening in the audience take some notes there around starting with the data and the information, and then really critically important for organizations to focus on what matters. We talk about that a lot on the podcast, as well as with clients. It's easy to say, hard to do. Every organization will throw all sorts of noise at you and all sorts of feedback to give you easily 15, 20 different things to look at. And the most critical thing is use your data and information to prioritize what matters most, where you're going to get the greatest return on investment, and just be diligent on focusing on those areas to drive them forward. And it's really a great story that you have in doing that. So thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's shift on. You talked a little bit about your reporting and the data and how you're really happy with it, where that's at. One of the things we like to ask around on the podcast is, how do you measure performance, or how do you know if somebody or something is performing well in your organization?
Yeah, great call out there. I think first and foremost, we want to make sure that the value that we're providing back to the organization is valid. But then also, I think anyone in the recruiting space hopefully has a bit of a competitive edge. So you want to see, how are you stacking up against some of your peers? And the early career space, I think, is one of those areas where I think it's a little bit unique in the sense of a lot of teams, a lot of organizations, if you will, we're going out and looking for this talent at very similar times. There is a camaraderie to that, but then also there is that, how do I stack up versus company A versus company B versus company C? So with that, looking at a lot of our recruiting metrics, again, having those established reports, what are some of those key KPIs and how we're performing, getting our internal data, but then leveraging outside resources and partners to be able to benchmark, you know, how we're really performing. Additionally here, you know, over the years, I've been able to build some great relationships with other, you know, recruiting, and then also more specifically early career leaders. So being able to knowledge share and compare and contrast to see, you know, how are our respective teams performing? How does that relate to our industry, our remit, our size? To be able to start to gauge and see that performance and validate what we're doing is working. To get more specific, again, I talked about like the funnel. I'm a big recruitment lifecycle funnel guy here, and looking at those conversion rates. Again, obviously, you got to start with something at the top, but then starting to really break down, what are those conversion ratios between the first stage of your interview to that final round interview to that offer accept? And are each one of those data points within those benchmarks, whether it be with your industry or just more for the talent channel that you're recruiting for? So that really is our driver here. And so looking first and foremost as the performance as a team, but then starting to break down that performance from the team into the individual as well here too. For example, if I'm recruiting and I'm working with a pool of talent, maybe there's an opportunity for me with some of my screening or some of my relationship development earlier within the funnel, looking at the data to then really drill down on what might be those opportunity points. Vice versa, as you go deeper into the funnel, we're seeing maybe candidates I'm submitting are not hitting that conversion rate, if you will, or that offer rate. That then begins to identify, okay, maybe there's something there with those final validations, or maybe it's even how we close candidates as well. So going back to what you said earlier here, Ryan, just really trying to identify what matters, leverage the data, zero in, and then figure out what sort of leverage strategies can we use to address what hopefully are small items that lead to big results as well.
Yeah, that's great. I really think that's a powerful way to look at it around conversion ratios and making sure when something is off or not improving, why is that? And really dissecting that in order to get that back in line or improve those ratios. So that's a very sophisticated way to measure that. And I think that's a great way for TA organizations to measure process quality and like kind of candidate quality and all of those things through your process. So good for you. Last question, or another question that I'd have for you, is now as you take this and start looking forward over the next year or so, what's one or two initiatives that you're looking at for your next level of improvement?
Yeah. So I think looking back here, obviously, you want to look at the data, how you're performing currently, how you did previously. But I think the more exciting part is starting to predict, where is the trend going? And where has the labor market been? Maybe that's not the focus. Where is the labor market going? And specifically within the early career space, I think there's a lot of talk. There's an article out there, it seems every day, about the cohort of talent coming into the workforce, the strengths, the opportunities, et cetera, and really trying to anticipate how do we meet the needs or what are the expectations of this candidate cohort, coupled and match them to what we're looking to do and drive from a business perspective as well, too. So that's a continuous evolution. So that's what really keeps me up at night is, again, trying to understand and anticipate where these trends are to then make sure that we're positioned in a way that supports and enables our business from that early career perspective. And again, I think even just over the course of the last 5-7 years, just seeing how, you know, early talent, campus talent, whatever you want to call it, the shifts that have happened in that time frame to where we are here today and what it will look like even going forward, that's very exciting. I do think it's going to continue to evolve. I do think it's going to continue to look very different. The technology that's utilizing here to be able to engage and attract early talent is going to also continue to rapidly evolve. Figuring out that puzzle, what's the right combinations, but then also what's the right equation for us here at Burlington within the space, that's what's really exciting and really keeps me energized day in and day out.
That's great. No, there's a lot evolving, almost like to your point, on a daily basis. And the experience and the expectations of that experience from candidates in the market and how tech enabled is that and how much human touch are they looking for? It's a really delicate balance to try to manage to make sure that you're meeting and exceeding the expectations on the candidate side. So the last question I would have for you is, for our audience is mainly made up of folks in the TA space or interested in the TA space. What's some advice you would have for those folks?
Yeah, I feel tough for me to say this. I still feel fairly young in this space here. But I think one thing that stands out to me as I continue to mature and continue to build that experience, but just enjoying the journey. I think recruitment or talent acquisition, it can be over-indexed from like a process standpoint, if you will, here. But I think anyone that's been in this space long enough knows that it's much, much more complex than just executing a process. As we said earlier, there's a bit of a human element to it as well here. And so finding that balance of finding like the process optimization, efficiency, along with still maintaining that human element, the relationship focus, and really almost a personalization, that I think is really key to having a differentiated talent acquisition or recruitment experience that will serve you into the future here. So again, I think as part of that, understanding it's a journey, understanding that there's going to be mistakes, there's going to be learnings, there's going to be successes, there's going to be wins, and really just taking that all together here to continue to build as you're reaching that, whatever that goal or that destination is. And I think we all know there's never a final destination. It's just going to keep evolving, keep pushing us. But I think that's also something that makes this space very exciting as well, too.
Yeah, that's great advice. And it definitely is a journey. I've been on the journey for coming up on 29 years now, and I've enjoyed every minute of it. Some of it more challenging than others, but it definitely is one of the best professions in the world, best spaces in the world, and so much opportunity to add value. So I think that's great advice. Dustin, I really appreciate you joining us today and sharing your personal journey.
Awesome. Thank you, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. If something we said today resonated with you, please subscribe, rate, and download our podcast and share the episode with your network. Ready to transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology just like our other clients at 3M, Comcast, Stryker, and Walgreens? Then reach out at sagemarkhr.com for a free consultation.